ولا تهنوا and don't become weak ولا تحزنوا and don't be sad. So much love in these words Allah is addressing us. Don't become weak. Don't let shaitan overpower you by making you think, I've been through so much suffering. What's the point of it all? There's no point in life. Don't become weak. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Don't grieve. Don't be sad. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ. You will be superior. You will win. This suffering will end. إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. But if you have iman, Allah answers our grief. Allah says that if you wish your sorrow to end, then develop your iman. And that's the only solution for all our problems. If a wound has touched you, be sure a similar wound has touched the others. See, the Muslims were devastated after this happened. So Allah reassures them that if you've been hurt, remember they've also been hurt. And so are the days we give to men by turns, that Allah may test those who believe and that He may take martyrs from among you. Aught that befalls us of pain and anguish is a test from Allah, by which He either elevates our degrees or He diminishes our ranks, depending upon our own response to that problem. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. And Allah does not love the wrongdoers. And that Allah may purify the believers from sins and destroy the disbelievers. Prophet ﷺ said, how wondrous is the matter of the mu'min. This is the gist of the hadith. If he is afflicted by any pain, he does sabr and he is rewarded. And if he is going through good times, he does shukr and he is rewarded. Shukr and sabr, both are two sides of the same coin. If we're going through pain, we need to do sabr and Allah will reward us for that. And if we're going through good times, we need to do shukr. And inshallah, Allah will reward us for that as well. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ. Do you think you're going to enter Jannah? وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Before Allah tests those of you who did jihad, and also test those who are patient. That's what we'd like, isn't it? Just to enter Jannah and have a beautiful life without any pain, any tests, any disobedience, doing whatever we like and end up in Jannah. It's not as easy as that. The price for Jannah is obedience. If you think about it, nobody could have suffered as much as the Prophet ﷺ suffered. Did he say, I'm not going to believe in Allah now, Zubillah? Or that's it, I'm not going to do anything else for Islam now. I've been through too much suffering, too much pain. Allah says, do you think you're going to enter Jannah before you're struggling, before your striving in Allah's path has been tested, before Allah has tested your sabr, and you did indeed wish for death before you met it. Now you have seen it openly with your own eyes. This refers to those companions who were eager to go out and fight. Allah says, now you have seen martyrdom with your own eyes. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is no more than a messenger. And indeed many messengers have passed away before him. If he dies or is killed, will you then turn back on your heels? And he who turns back on his heels, not the least harm will he do to Allah. And Allah will give reward to those who are grateful. See, there's such a beautiful story behind this ayat. This ayat was revealed actually because the Muslims at one point in the battle thought that the Prophet ﷺ had been martyred. And many of them were instantly disheartened and some said, let's just leave immediately. What's the point of going on now that the Prophet ﷺ is no longer with us? So this ayat was revealed. But it has a more beautiful story behind it. That when the Prophet ﷺ actually died, a natural death, and people were weeping, there was total pandemonium, total confusion. People were shocked and Hazrat Umar was going around with his sword brandished and saying, I'll kill anyone who says he died. And that was because of his grief for the Prophet ﷺ. In the midst of all this confusion, Hazrat Abu Bakr entered the mosque quietly. He went and he kissed the Prophet ﷺ's forehead and said, you are as beautiful in death as you were in life. And then he said, and you have died the death which Allah decreed for you. And remember that they had been best of friends as well. Then he went out where Hazrat Umar was raging and said, O people, listen, whoever worships Muhammad, he should know that Muhammad is dead. But whoever worships Allah, he should know that Allah is Hayyun la yamut. He is eternal. He will never die. And then he read this ayat, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. Muhammad is nothing but a messenger. أَفَإِن مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ. If he dies or is killed, إِن قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. Will you turn back on your heels? وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ. Whoever turns back on his heels, whoever leaves Islam, renounces Islam, enters atheism, فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيَّا. He cannot harm Allah at all. وَسَيَجْزِ اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Allah will give reward to those who are grateful. Who are the shakirin? who go on thanking Allah for what they still have. When Hazrat Abu Bakr recited this ayat, people said it was as if they had never heard it before. Hazrat Umar says, I sank to the ground. My legs could no longer support me. Everyone in the mosque that day was reciting this ayat because it was as if that ayat had been revealed that very day. The key words, سَيَجْزِ اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ, Allah will reward those who do shukr. Even if Allah has inflicted suffering upon us, if we are going through pain, what greater pain could there be than that of the Muslims when they had lost their leader, they had lost their Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At that point in time also Allah is telling them, I will reward those who do shukr. Allah makes us a promise in the Quran, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, if you give thanks, I will definitely give you more. That's a promise. And Allah never breaks His promise. وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, no person can ever die except by Allah's leave and at an appointed term. وَمَن يُرِدْ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا, whoever desires a reward in this world, we shall give him of it. وَمَن يُرِدْ ثَوَابَ الْآخِرَةِ نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا, and whoever desires a reward in the hereafter, we shall give him thereof. If we think about it, sometimes we are so obsessed with the world, we are so preoccupied by the world that we can't think ahead. People tell us, oh, Allah will reward you if you do sabr. And we say, no, but we want to be rewarded now. Allah is saying, develop width of vision. If you're climbing 120 stories, you will pass the 40th story on the way. But if your vision is restricted to the 40th story, no, that's just where I want to reach, you're not going to get to the top of the building. Allah says, if you want the world, you'll get the world. But if you want the hereafter, you will get that. Remember the dua which we learned in the second separa? رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. O Allah, give us good in this world and in the hereafter good. Not just in this world. وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And again Allah repeats, سَنَجْزِ الشَّاكِرِينَ. We shall reward those who are grateful, those who do shukr. How do we thank Allah for His blessings? By using them. How do we thank Allah for this Quran? By reading it, implementing it. How do we thank Allah for this life He has given us? By using it in His obedience to the best of our ability. And many a prophet fought, and along with him fought large bands of religious learned men. But they never lost heart for that which befell them in Allah's way, nor did they weaken or degrade themselves. Wallahu yuhibbu as-sabirin. Allah loves those who are patient. We complain about our problems, about our suffering. Allah says, think about the prophets who passed away before you. What about their sufferings? Are you better than them? People say, I didn't deserve this. Are we more deserving than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ, Allah loves those who do sabr. وَمَا كَانَ قَوْلُهُمْ, what did these people say then when they were in pain, when they were going through that anguish, what did they say? إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا وَاسْتَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا. Oh, our Lord, forgive us our sins. They're doing so much for Allah, yet still they're not saying, well Allah, you know, you might as well think of all that I've done for you. They're saying, forgive us our sins and our transgressions. Establish our feet firmly. Make firm my heart. Strengthen my iman. Don't let me turn away from you. وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ, and give us victory over the disbelievers. Give us victory over those who are harming us, who are hurting us. So what happened to them? فَأَتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا وَحُسْنَ ثَوَابِ الْآخِرَةِ. So Allah gave them the reward of this world and the beautiful reward of the hereafter. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and Allah loves those who do ihsan. Again Allah stresses that if you turn to me for help, I will reward you in this world and the next. O you who believe, if you obey those who disbelieve, they will send you back on your heels and you will turn back from faith as losers, khasirin. Someone who rejects Islam after having been granted this precious treasure is being called a loser by Allah. Whom do we call a loser? Someone who's going through pain, someone who doesn't have any money, someone who's lost his job maybe. Who are the true losers in Allah's eyes? Those people who turn back from iman. Balillahu mawlaakum. Allah is your protector. Wa huwa khayrun naasirin. He is the best of helpers. And He will help us when the time is right. We shall cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve, because they joined others in worship with Allah, for which He had sent no authority. Their abode will be the fire, and how evil is the abode of the wrongdoers. وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ, and Allah did indeed fulfill His promise to you. People started saying, well, you know, Allah promised us that we would always win. How could we have lost then? And we too also say, you know, Allah says that if you obey me and I'll, you know, fulfill your du'as. And I've been obeying Allah, but my du'as are still not answered. Allah says, think about about it. Allah fulfilled His promise to you when you were killing them with His permission until you lost your courage. And you started disputing and you started disobeying after He showed you of the booty which you love. The cause of the Muslims' defeat in Uhud was not that Allah broke His promise. It was because they started disobeying Allah. Sometimes we like to blame Allah for things which go wrong in our lives. We should start thinking about that which we are doing wrong in our lives. Among you are some that wish for this world and some that wish for the hereafter. And we can think about what our dreams center around. What do our ambitions focus on, this world or the hereafter? Then He made you flee from them that He might test you, but surely He forgave you. Wallahu dhu fadlin ala al-mu'mineen. And Allah is most gracious to the believers. And remember when you ran away without even casting a side glance at anyone and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in your ear calling you back. There did Allah give you one distress after another by way of requital to teach you not to grieve for that which had escaped you nor for that which had befallen you. Wallahu khabirun bima ta'amaloon. And Allah is all aware of all that you do. Then after the distress He sent down security for you. Slumber overtook a party of you while another party was thinking about themselves and thought wrongly of Allah. The thought of ignorance. The hypocrites who immediately started blaming Allah, well, you know, we should have known better and if the Muslims had listened to us, this wouldn't have happened to them. And when things go wrong and we start blaming Allah, that's a sign of hypocrisy. They said, have we any part in the affair? Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed the affair belongs wholly to Allah. Now Allah mentions those people who were in a state of peace. Who are these people during this battle? See, I mentioned that the Muslims had a mixed reaction. Most of them were panicking, but some of them said, let's get up and fight for the cause for which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. Anas bin Nazar, one of the companions, when asked, where are you going? He said, how wonderful is the fragrance of paradise and I can sense it near the mountain of Uhud. Then he addressed the Muslims and said, if he has died, why do you wish to live after him? Rise and die for the cause for which he died. He fought till he was martyred and his body had 70 wounds upon it and his sister recognized him by his fingertips. Another of the companions, Ziyad bin Sakan, was standing right before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fighting for him. And when he was fatally wounded, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, bring him close to me. And Hazrat Ziyad died with his cheek on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's foot. Sometimes when it seems like there's no point in living anymore, there's no point in trying anymore, this is the message that these companions left behind for us. Rise and die for the cause for which he died. There was one companion who was lame. He had four sons and when they were going for the battle, his four sons were trying to persuade him, don't go. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, you don't have to go, you're lame. And he said, but O Messenger of Allah, I wish to enter Jannah with this lame foot of mine. And he too was martyred. So we can think about it, which group do we wish to belong to? Those who were an inspiration for others or those who weakened the iman of others by saying, well, it's all Allah's fault and you know, how could Allah do this to us? They hide within themselves, these hypocrites hide within themselves what they dare not reveal to you, saying, if we had anything to do with the affair, none of us would have been killed here. Say, even if you had remained in your homes, those for whom death was decreed would certainly have gone forth to the place of their death. But that Allah might test what is in your hearts, and to purify that which is in your hearts. Wallahu alimun bidhati sudur. And Allah knows the secrets of your hearts. See, a hypocrite has been defined in one hadith. A hypocrite is like the donkey. He doesn't know why his master ties him up and he doesn't know why his master lets him go. Everything that happens to us in our life is for a purpose. It's happening because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to remind us of something. As Guy Eaton once said, through our destiny God speaks to us and through our worship we speak to Him. When we're going through pain, Allah is sending us a message. It's not na'uzubillah sadism that He's inflicting upon us. Those of you who turned back on the day the two hosts met, the battle of Uhud, it was shaitan who caused them to run away because of some sins they had earned. When our iman becomes weak, when we start doubting Allah, then we should know that we are under the control of shaitan at that time. And Allah has indeed forgiven them. Indeed Allah is all forgiving, most forbearing. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. O you who believe, do not be like those who disbelieve and who say to their brothers when they travel through the earth or go out to fight, if they had stayed with us, they would not have died or been killed. Now this is a very important ayat. We also say this. Someone dies in an accident, we say, if only she hadn't gone on the motorway that day, or if only she hadn't gone to Lahore, or if only this hadn't happened, you know, this accident wouldn't have taken place or she would be alive today. Allah says this is kufr. Why? Because our death has been destined for us. The way we are going to die, the time we are going to die, when we are going to die, has already been decided for us when we were 4 months old in our mother's womb. We enter this world with our death certificate attached to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those people who think death can be averted in some way are doing kufr. So that Allah may make it a cause of regret in their hearts. Why is it part of Iman? Because if you think about it, that's what gives Muslim strength. When someone we love passes away, and if we think to ourselves, if only this hadn't happened, she wouldn't have died. It makes it much more painful for us. And we go on and on brooding about it. But if we can sit back and say, well, this was destined for her, then Allah will grant us peace because of that. Allah reminds us, Wallahu yuhyi wa yumeet. It is Allah that gives life and causes death. It's not the fault of the driver. It's not the fault of the motorway. It's not the fault that she went to Lahore that day. It is Allah that gives life and causes death. And Allah is all seer of what you do. وَلَئِنْ قُتِلْتُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَوْ مُتُّمْ لَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَحْمَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. And if you are killed or die in the way of Allah, forgiveness and mercy from Allah are far better than all that they collect. But you see, our priorities are different. Our preoccupations are different. We value this world so much that for someone to die seems like the greatest disaster on this earth. In the same way, if someone's going through pain, we won't think, well, maybe this pain is elevating his degrees. We'll just go on feeling sorry for that person. We might not think that that pain could actually be a blessing in disguise for that person. And whether you die or are killed, indeed to Allah you shall be gathered. إِلَلَّهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. And by the mercy of Allah, you dealt with them gently. See, after the battle was over, the Prophet ﷺ did not reproach the companions. Well, thanks for running away when I needed you. No, by the mercy of Allah, you dealt with them gently. And had you been severe and harsh-hearted, they would have broken away from you. So pass over their faults and ask Allah's forgiveness for them and consult them in their affairs. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Then when you have taken a decision, trust in Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Because indeed Allah loves those who put their trust in Him. You are going through pain, you are going through suffering, do your utmost and then trust in Allah. And Allah will love you in return. If Allah helps you, none can overcome you. And if He forsakes you, who is there after Him that can help you? And in Allah alone let believers put their trust. It is not for any prophet to take illegally a part of the booty. And whosoever deceives his companions as regards the booty, he shall bring forth on the day of judgment that which he took illegally. Then every person shall be paid in full what he has earned, and they shall not be dealt with unjustly. And this is an important ayat because it refers to the fact that once after the Battle of Badr, a chadar was lost from the wealth of booty. So some Muslims assumed maybe the Prophet ﷺ took it. So this ayat was revealed in which Allah emphasizes that public wealth, national treasuries, public trusts, etc. belong to the whole nation. And for any person to take even one part of them is strictly haram, because if he does that, he's cheating not just one person. You see, if you steal a pencil from one person, you've just deprived one person of their right. But we see employees bringing home stationery and pencils and paper, they should know that they're cheating the whole ummah for that, and they will be punished accordingly. Is then one who follows the good pleasure of Allah like the one who draws on himself the wrath of Allah? See how casually we treat certain actions. We take it for granted. And this is what Allah says, that the wrath of Allah will be on one who steals public wealth. His abode is hell, and worst indeed is that destination. هُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. They are in varying grades with Allah. Have we ever wondered about what our grade would be with Allah? Whether we are amongst the winners, or we are amongst the losers, or amongst those who are just procrastinating? And Allah is all seer of what they do. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Indeed Allah conferred a great favor on the believers when He sent among them a messenger from among themselves, reciting unto them His verses, and purifying them, and teaching them the book and wisdom, while before that they had been in manifest error. See, what is it? Allah says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a great favor upon you. And what do we say? Oh, don't tell me. If I know, I'll have to act upon it. We view Islam as an oppressive burden. We don't want to find the truth. We act like ostriches. No, no, don't tell me. You know you have to act upon it. Allah says, don't you see? Don't you recognize the blessing Allah has sent upon you when He sent this messenger? And Allah mentions four things here. Recitation of the Quran. And in this month especially, where every deed that we do, we are rewarded manifold. We should emphasize on this. And not just recitation of the Quran, purifying ourselves. And not just purifying ourselves, understanding the Quran, understanding the Sunnah. And only then can we emerge from ignorance into enlightenment. What is the matter with you? When a single disaster smites you, although you smote your enemies with one twice as great, you say, from where does this come to us? Say to them, it is from yourselves. Wallahu ala kulli shayin qadir. And Allah has power over all things. We never stop to think when things go wrong that maybe we have some hand in it. Maybe we did something to displease Allah. We're too busy blaming Allah and thinking how unfair it is. And what you suffered of the disaster on the day of the Battle of Uhud, when the two armies met, was by the leave of Allah, in order that He might test the believers. believers, and that he might test the hypocrites. It was said to them, come fight in the way of Allah, or defend yourselves. They said, had we known that fighting will take place, we would certainly have followed you. On that day, they were nearer to disbelief than to faith, saying with their mouths what was not in their hearts. We all say La ilaha illallah. We all say Muhammadur Rasulullah. We all say Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, Inshallah. Do we really mean it? When we mean La ilaha illallah, we act upon it, not just say it. They are the ones who said about their killed brothers while they themselves sat at home. If only they had listened to us, they would not have been killed. قُلْ فَدْرَأُوا عَنْ أَنفُسِكُمُ الْمَوْتَ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ Tell them, avert death from yourselves if you speak the truth. If you think that someone's death could have been averted, then fine, stay immortal yourself. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا Do not think of those who are killed in the way of Allah as dead. But they are alive with their Lord, and they are being provided. After Uhud, we find from a hadith that the martyrs were transformed into beautiful birds that happily flew about in Jannah. But since the martyrs were worried about their relatives, they asked Allah to reassure their relatives about how happy they were. So this ayat was revealed. They rejoice in what Allah has bestowed upon them of His bounty, and rejoice for the sake of those who have not yet joined them, but are left behind, that on them no fear shall come, nor shall they grieve. يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلٍ They rejoice in a grace and a bounty from Allah, and that Allah will not waste the reward of the believers. See, this is so beautiful. If we think about it, sometimes we want that this life of ours for 50, 60, 70 years should not be full of pain, and we're not concerned about that eternity which awaits us. See how happy these martyrs are. Allah says they rejoice in a grace and a bounty from Allah, and that Allah will not waste the reward of the believers. People say, what was the good of all my prayers? What was the good of all my du'as? What's the good of iman if I'm just going to go through problems? This is the good of iman. This is the benefit of iman and good deeds. Jannah. الَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ Those who responded to Allah and the Messenger after being wounded. For those of them who did good deeds and feared Allah, Ajrun Azim, for them is an awesome reward. See, what happened was that the next day after the battle of Uhud, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam feared a return attack, and he was afraid that the kuffar might come back to attack them. So he said, who will get up and come and fight back against the kuffar? Now the Muslims were devastated physically and psychologically. They just lost the battle. They'd lost so many of their beloved companions. And sometimes you'll find that, you know, when we're at our lowest, when we're feeling most depressed, that's when it's most difficult to get up and pray. That's when it's most difficult to get up and obey Allah. And 70 of those companions, wounded, maimed, shattered, got up and limped along with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to a place about 8 miles from Medina. But the kuffar had not yet come there, and so they returned victorious. Allah says, for them is ajrun azim. What is the message in this ayah? That even if you're down, even if you're suffering, and it's most difficult to obey Allah, respond to Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if you're finding it difficult or unbearable. Get up and do that, and then inshallah we will find Allah will grant us an ajri azim. Those believers to whom the hypocrites said, indeed the pagans have gathered against you a great army, therefore fear them, but it only increase them in faith when people try and frighten us. وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ And they said, Allah is enough for us. And He is the best disposer of affairs for us. This is iman. Against all odds, against all suffering, all pain, we say, Allah is enough for us. I don't need anyone else. Do you know these were the words that Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam uttered when he was being thrown into the fire? حَسْبِي اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ And what happened? That fire was turned into coolness for him. And Allah says, so they returned with grace and bounty from Allah. No harm touched them, and they followed the pleasure of Allah. وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَظِيمٍ And Allah is the owner of great bounty. It is only shaitan that suggests to you the fear of his friends. Shaitan who fills us with doubts and misgivings. What's the good of iman? There's no point in salah. There's no point in believing in Allah if you're just going to go through pain. Allah says, this is shaitan trying to control you like a puppet. فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ Do not be afraid of them. Don't be frightened of people. وَخَافُونِي And fear me in كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِي If you have iman. And let not those grieve you who rush with haste to disbelieve. Sometimes we see people who are disobeying Allah and they're prospering and they're doing just fine and nothing's happening to them. And instinctively you start feeling, well, what's the good then? We might as well be like them. Allah says, do not let such people grieve you or delude you. Indeed, not the least harm will they do to Allah. Now listen to this. It is Allah's will to give them no portion in the hereafter. Now which would we rather have? That they should be punished in this world or in the hereafter? Allah says they will be given nothing in the hereafter, and for them is a great torment. Now we can decide whether we want an ajri azim or an adabi azim, because the choice is ours at this point in time. Indeed, those who purchase disbelief at the price of faith, who give up their iman, who enter atheism or enter disbelief, or just a state of indifference to Allah, not the least harm will they do to Allah. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, and for them is a painful torment. So we should pray to Allah that He strengthens our iman and that we die in a state of Islam. And let not the disbelievers think that our postponing of their punishment is good for them. People who say, well, if Allah was angry with me, you know, surely something would have happened to me by now. Allah says, don't let such people think that because they're not being punished in this world, they're getting away with it. We postpone the punishment only so that they may increase in sin. The mills of God grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ, and for them is a humiliating torment. Allah will not leave the believers in the state in which you are now until He distinguishes the wicked from the good. Nor will Allah disclose to you the secrets of the unseen. But Allah chooses of His messengers whom He wills. فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ, so believe in Allah and His messengers. This is a command. But look at the command. It's a command of such love, such tenderness, such concern for us. Believe in Allah and His messengers. Why should we believe in Allah? Because He needs our iman. وَإِن تُؤْمِنُوا وَتَتَّقُوا, because if you believe, if you are conscious of Allah, فَلَكُمْ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ, for you is an awesome reward. And Allah wants that reward for us. And let not those who stingily withhold of that which Allah has bestowed on them of His bounty think that it is good for them. This is for those people who don't pay zakat on their wealth and they're just going on a casual estimate. We should know that zakat is a debt that we owe to Allah. Nay, it will be worse for them. سَيُطَوَّقُونَ مَا بَخِلُوا بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, the things which they stingily withheld shall be tied to their necks like a collar on the day of judgment. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said, anyone whom Allah has given wealth but he does not pay its zakat, then on the day of judgment, his wealth will be presented to him in the shape of a bald-headed, poisonous male snake with two poisonous glands in its mouth. Just imagine what a fearful image. And it will encircle itself around his neck and bite him over his cheeks and say, I am your wealth, I am your treasure. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this verse. وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and to Allah belongs the heritage of the heavens and the earth. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ, Allah is fully acquainted with all that you're doing. Indeed, Allah has heard the statement of those Jews who say, indeed Allah is poor and we are rich. We shall record what they say and their killing of the prophets unjustly, and we shall say, ذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ, taste the torment of the burning fire. The Jews made great fun of Allah when they heard the ayat that مَنْ زَلَّذِي يُقْرَدُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا, who will give to Allah a beautiful loan, and they said, really, Allah is hard up and Allah needs money from us? And we hear people making fun of the Quran and the Sunnah too today, and people making blasphemous statements about the Quran or the Sunnah and laughing at Allah or laughing at the Quran. Allah says, we shall record what they have said. Every time we utter a blasphemous statement against Allah, we should remember that it's being recorded. And their killing of the prophets unjust. Here we can see that derision of the Quran has been equated with murder of the prophets. We make statements about Allah and we think, you know, what's the big deal? I just said it in joke. I wasn't serious about it. Allah has equated their statement with murder of the prophets. And we shall say, taste the torment of the burning. This is because of that evil which your hands have sent before you. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بِالظَّلَّانِ لِلْعَبِيدِ, and indeed Allah is never unjust to His slaves. Again and again, Allah is not unjust to us. Those Jews who said, indeed Allah has taken our promise not to believe in any messenger unless He brings to us an offering which the fire from heaven shall devour. Say, indeed there came to you messengers before me with clear signs and even with what you speak of. Why then did you kill them if you are truthful? Then if they reject you, so were messengers rejected before you who came with clear signs and the scripture and the book of enlightenment. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ, everyone shall taste death. The word used here is ذَائِقَة. It seems like it's a physical experience. The Prophet ﷺ once likened the experience of death for disbelievers to tearing a silken shawl from a thorny bush. Now imagine that there's a thorny bush and the silken shawl has been entangled in its briars and you're ripping it off. How does it feel? Everyone shall taste death. Young, old, rich, poor, male, female. And on the day of judgment, shall you be paid your wages in full? People say, I'm so miserable, I wish I could just die. That is not the end of it, that's just the beginning. On the day of judgment, you will be paid your wages in full. And whoever is removed from the fire and admitted to Jannah, he is successful. It won't be seen how much suffering we went through, how much pain we went through in this world. No, what will be seen is who entered Jannah and who entered hell. That will be the criterion of success and failure. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ Don't you understand, people? The life of this world is just deception. Brief, temporary. How many years are we going to live? 60, 70, 80? And in the hereafter, an eternity awaits us. Whether of bliss or of torment, the choice is ours. لَتَبْلُغُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ You will definitely be tried. Now this is a promise to all of us. Not just a few of us. We will all be tested in your wealth and your properties and in your personal selves. The depression we feel, times when we feel like, you know, we don't want to believe in Allah. Times when we feel like disobeying Allah. Allah is saying, I will test you spiritually and by means of your wealth. Sometimes people who have been given wealth, that can be a fitna for them because that leads them to disobey Allah. And we look at them and we say, look at them, they're doing so well. But that wealth could be a curse for them. And someone's poverty can be a blessing for him because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever is content with little of my risk, I will be content with little of his deeds. So the more we have, the greater the accountability. And you shall certainly hear much that will hurt you from those who received the book before you. But if... In tasbiru wa tattaqu, again and again, sabr and taqwa. If you do sabr and you are Allah conscious, فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَظْمِ الْأُمُورِ That is something awesome. That is something to have achieved. That's what will be seen at the end of the day. And remember, when Allah took a covenant from those who were given the book to make it known and clear to mankind and not to hide it, but they threw it away behind their backs and purchased with it some miserable gain. And indeed, worse is that which they bought. Do not think that those who rejoice in what they have done and love to be praised for what they have not done, don't think that they are rescued from the torment. And for them is a painful torment. And to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. And Allah has power over all things.